states our calendar is 27-23-87, the Pinner Elevator Corporation versus Grafton Bidney, tax position.
Good morning. The position in this case states on which Schuler Elevator Corporation received service from $200,000 sales. Relying on section 57-03-37, we intend to serve the service July 26, 1992. That is the first date which an officer of the corporation received service.
Thank you. department to give construction services and have yet to survey that it's tough. Understand that some of the tax assessments is where it ought to go. You've got to be some sort of like problem your account has, and you are in construction services.
Well, in this case, even if you would have adopted that rationale, that would still be plenty of enough money for the corporation to buy the money. But in direct answer to your question, I don't think that's happening. If it's incumbent upon the state, they expect the responses to the 30-day period of filing the state, to be noticed as an appropriate person to whom their notice is directed. You can't expect that any individual within the corporation to define the intent of the Department of Taxation that this particular assessment should wind up in the new monopoly. If it happens, fine. But I think the responsibility falls on the shoulders of the Department of Taxation to at least identify the intent of the system. If they don't do that, then I think there will be a purpose. When the notice is finally delivered, you're taking an officer or a statutory agent, which in this case occurred on July 26th, on the 30th day, on the 31st day after the envelope was delivered to the protocol.
What if the commission were running up against a time deadline for an assessment and an agent and or officer of a corporation just refused service, knowing if they held out for another week, the statute would run?
Not a problem. Again, the Department of Taxation is nothing more than put on the envelope to the attention of the president of the relevant corporation. Mail is not certified mail.
Well, I didn't understand that was your argument. I thought your argument was, when I read the brief, that it had to be on an agent or an officer.
Well, that's correct.
Well, but well, somebody could very well pick it up, and that wouldn't be service, according to you.
No, that's not my opinion. If the envelope had been addressed to the officer, then service would have been suppressed under the government's decision to report. At the point in time, somebody picked up the envelope on behalf of the corporation, so that somebody would know they were doing that directly on the envelope. It doesn't have to be directed to the officer with his name.
That's all the statute says. It says it shall be directed by certified mail too. So,
yes. But again, our problem is that the only thing that's going on is not just around the
would the, following up on just Douglas's question though, how would unclaimed or refused certified mail service be, should that be viewed under the term, under the language of the 570337? So it shall be served. It does, the statutory language says shall be served upon by mailing.
I think that they will have a problem with that service.
The ducking of service is, of course, the problem that Justice Douglas poses, and that... In response to Justice Piper's question, B does set forth the party to whom the notice is directed. So it is, I mean, it does give us one word, party, and to whom it's directed. So that's a starting point for what Justice Piper is asking.
Well,
is that enough?
Well, I think it is in the sense of party as a corporation. And we get back into, so does anybody qualify? This works for corporations, right? We don't know. The point is, we're not in the government.
We don't know an individual, and we cannot rely on a title as being a proper or an effective title.
So, sir, though you had a sales tax assessment against AR.
Who chooses a statutory a corporation as its statutory agent, of course, certainly they know that. I mean, they take the risk of that, I suppose. It's a little different scenario than setting forth a manager, a managing person or an agent.
Not by this court.
Mr. Starr.
I understand your argument about 13, that it's a specific statute and it really goes directly to the sales tax, where the other is a general statute. The question is, when would the general statute ever apply? I can't think of any.
Like a lot of states, you will find in regard to something enacted years ago, it has been replaced by, in specific cases, by special provisions. I'm not sure. I cannot give you an instance which will. But what I can say is that confidently, that I don't think the General Assembly intended it, because it was out there somewhere. It should act as additional restrictions on the special provisions that they had. It should operate to create some sort of hybrid procedure that was not even considered by the General Assembly when it was enacted as a special provision.
Normally, when you make that argument and you a special provision which supplants a more general, typically that argument is made where the special provision is broader than the broad position, the original general provision. Here, it seems to me, Mr. Sauer, maybe I'm missing it, but it seems to me that the provision that you call the general provision is more explicit and more specific than the 37.
Right. And we have shown so many times that it's become axiomatic that a special statutory provision which applies to a specific subject matter constitutes an exception to a general statutory provision covering other subject matter as well as specific subject matter. So you have there special provision is actually narrower.
But in Fisher, wasn't there more of a conflict between the two? I mean, these can live together. These two statutes can support each other.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You've got, as I say, in terms of budget, in 2019, what am I going to do with the fact that there's a point over there? There's a new language that's just going to be very important. Is there after what happened in a little place, 6-7-3-9-13, not just there, to make it easier for the tax to be controlled, is there a statement of protection for the tax payer? And as it's been applied by this court, it's a case like Geronimo and Cutlano, where it's important to whether or not services reasonably calculated to reach a responsible person. It does just that. But if the department is pressed in a situation where they've got this old standard out there, they will not jeopardize sales tax assessments in the city, which, frankly, are in excess of $400 million per year pull out of assessment. The department will not jeopardize that by second guessing the identity of office. We will send it to the statutory agency. If they have any doubt, be careful what they wish for, because if there's any doubt as to the time delay that it can have getting to a responsible person for purposes of filing a petition, you're going to have more if we send it out. Chandler says creation is the corporation, I'm sure you're aware, that says we're from agents for hundreds of thousands of tax. The point is, Anderson National.
Including the post office box that's here.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Sauer. The Senate will save about 4 minutes of your time.
Could I ask you to address the one, among your few comments, the question of upon delivery or upon mailing, with, you know, that quandary that is posed by Mr. Sauer?
Yes.
He thinks, I think Mr. Sauer's argument is that as one, the one statute was, is service upon mailing and the other is upon delivery.
Both statutes permit service by letter, personal delivery, or certified mail. That's not the issue. We're not complaining that service is by certified mail. We're complaining that that mailing was addressing. And who should bear the burden of the 30-day period?